Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 756. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
If this is total victory in Iran, it's different than how I would have pictured it.
You would know. You get lots of total victories in your war games. Yeah, it's not great. It's been a nightmare.
I just like to think that when you've won, they'd stop shooting at you.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem to have happened.
Especially when you're, I don't even know what the hell, the Secretary of War now, because we're idiots.
Yeah.
Like when you say we've obliterated their capabilities, yet somehow they're still shooting at us.
Not just shooting at us, but shooting at us more effectively than they were a month ago.
we've wiped out all of their capabilities, yet somehow they are.
So there was this thing that happened in Vietnam. I think it was 1972 when the Air Force announced that they no longer had any more targets to hit in North Vietnam because they destroyed them all. And somehow after that, we still lost the war.
Yes. And 50 some years later, we're repeating that at rapid pace.
Yes.
Insane. Jeff will be joining us. Earl will not. Not sure where Jeff is. He said he was in, and then he said he was going to be late. Now
maybe
he's not
stuck
here.
In the Straits of Hormuz, like all those other.
He could be. Could be trying to fill up his gas tank for $4.50. Yeah. It's all gross. I am not happy that this is happening now. Like, not happy about it at all. But I am relieved that it did not, because gas had gone down a little bit right before we went on vacation. So, and we drove. I don't know. I think it was close. Probably over 1,000 miles round trip. I had to fill up the car like 4 times. And as soon as we got home, the price jumped 40 cents.
Yes. Yeah. So, like,
relieved that it didn't happen while we were on vacation. So
this is certainly better. Yes.
Yeah. Especially since I spent way too much money on it anyway. Yeah. So we've been away. I don't think we've recorded in July. Maybe we have. Did we record on the 2nd? Maybe we did on the 2nd.
I don't think that we did, though.
Okay. So we have not recorded in July. A lot has happened. Like, a lot. Xbox is on fire. PlayStation's on fire. The games industry is on fire.
It's all on fire. Although, apparently, even though it's on fire, Xbox sold, 7 times as much?
Yeah, so...
As many Xboxes in this June that is supposed to last June?
Yeah. And I'm just wondering, what did they sell last June?
Right. Was it so bad? Like, that's right. When did they
sell one?
Price increase. Of Game Pass.
Oh, of Game Pass. I think that was in September
last
year. But they had already done a price increase on their hardware.
Yeah.
I think by this point last year. And now they're doing another one, which could account for some of it, right? Like, oh, they're raising their prices again. Maybe now's the time since they gave us a date.
Right.
Buy in June and July. Also, I don't know, without hard numbers, and I don't know if they've released them, but like 7 times 1 is 7.
So yeah.
If you only
sold
like
14 Xboxes and this
right,
month,
like, oh,
good job, guys.
A year ago we sold 2, and this we're 7 times better than we were last year. Okay.
Yeah. Good job.
Yeah. And we don't get those hard numbers anymore. I bet they did slightly better. It's hard to do worse than what they were doing. I also, I'm questioning who's buying a console, like, unless it's like you or me, we needed replacement ones. Like, who is buying a console that is more expensive than it was at launch at this point in time? I don't know. I believe Jeff has just joined us.
Like Jeff.
Yeah.
Sorry about people that.
Like Jeff. No, it's okay. How are you, Jeffrey?
I'm great. Wonderful.
Everything's great for Jeff. We were just discussing Xbox and the fact that they somehow sold 7 times more in June than they did the previous year. Of course, we don't know what that means. Because they didn't go, hey, we sold 70,000 units, and then you could deduct from that. They just like, we sold 7 times more this year than last year. So, but that's good considering where they were.
Right,
7 times is a good number. There, the rest of the, well, there's some good news for Xbox. We'll get to that at the end, I guess. But we're covering a month's worth here. Quick recap of everything that's happened is Microsoft has restructured the Xbox division very dramatically. They have split ways with 4 studios. Double Fine, Ninja Theory, the State of Decay developer, Undead Labs, and another one. There's another one in there. Can't remember who the... Compulsion. Compulsion Games, who did South of Midnight. So South of Midnight, the Compulsion and Double Fine, they have basically either been given back independence or have bought back independence from Microsoft and are now independent studios again. They've retained their IP, and Undead Labs and Ninja Theory have agreed to, well, Microsoft has agreed to sell them to an undisclosed buyer who is going to finance their currently in production games, Senua and State of Decay 3, to completion. So that's goodish in that those studios aren't closed.
Those studios,
right?
they still exist. They were not shut down.
Yeah. And another one that's tied to all that, but because French labor laws are much more strict about, hey, you can't just close down a company. You need to like give them plenty of, heads up. You also need to alert the government that you're doing it. Arcane Lyon is in some sort of remediation with the government there, as Microsoft looks what to do. Now, they are the Dishonored team. I don't know if they've released anything. Maybe that one that was a PlayStation exclusive, so it would have been before they became an Xbox studio. And I'm drawing a blank on that one. That was kind of like the roguelike. It that did eventually come to Xbox.
Redfall?
But Redfall was...
Was their last game.
Arcane Austin. Who are gone.
Yeah, they worked on it, though.
Yeah.
I'm in Arcane Studios.
Do you have
Deathloop?
Deathloop.
That was like a game of the year contender, wasn't it?
Sure. I played it. I didn't like it.
No, I didn't like it at all. That studio, but I'm just saying.
I like Dishonored, and I did not. I don't think I played Dishonored 2. So I like Dishonored. I'll say that. Deathloop was not my type of game. I believe that they are the studio that was working on that Blade game that was announced.
Marvel's Blade.
Yeah. It was announced like 3 or 4 years ago. But we've never seen anything on it. Anyway, they are in some sort of, it looks like they're going to be let go from Xbox and Bethesda. Just not sure how. On top of all that, though, Xbox announced 3,200 cuts to the Xbox division, which 1,600 were kind of done at that point. Lots of people lost their jobs. Lots of institutional knowledge has left, which is going to make some of the next announcements even weirder. Because they have gotten rid of most of the id Tech people who did their engine. They got rid of a bunch of the writing staff at Obsidian, as well as programmers and artists that have been there a while.
Right. Because they canceled the sequel to that.
Avowed.
The RPG. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. And then this is what's the weird piece about that is covering up underneath that is they kind of announced we're refocusing on our big hitters, Fallout, Elder Scrolls, Halo, Gears, Forza, Doom. Yet they decimated Obsidian's team, and they've assigned Obsidian to work on a new Fallout game.
That's the thing. Yeah. It's like, right, that's awesome. Obsidian's making a new Fallout, but you fired most of the writers. Like, those games are like 80% narrative. Like, you know what I mean? Like, how does that make it possible? Like, I get they want us, like, believe me, I would have liked a steady stream of Fallout, Halo, Elder Scrolls, all that, but like, it makes it so much harder to do, I would imagine, when you're working with half the staff you had, maybe less than half. Like,
yeah. Well, but like, it's a new game, so it's like they're going to be in pre-production now, right? So like, they don't need all these guys sitting around waiting to develop something that doesn't even exist conceptually yet. And you got to figure, like, if I'm hiring a writing team, I'm guessing the folks who would write a game like Avowed would be very different from the ones who would write something like Fallout.
But they're also the people. So it was also,
are they the actual writers who wrote?
Well, so some of them have been there since they did New Vegas,
which is so long ago now.
Yeah, and that's the thing, right? They cut some people that have been with these companies for a very long time.
Yeah.
But they're also the people that wrote Outer Worlds, which is, as Jeff will attest later when we're talking about games we played,
we'll get into it. Yeah.
Basically a Fallout game, right?
Like, yeah, it is. It absolutely
Fallout
is,
in space. So like, if you are looking for that kind of Fallout vibe, Outer Worlds has it, but they've just decimated the team that did that. So
yeah,
I get why we've reached a point where Xbox needs to produce something. And you need,
they have all, like, these studios and no games ever come out. That's
just terrible. And also, like, you said this earlier in the week, Tony, about Bethesda specifically, like, it's been how long since, like, I mean, they released Starfield, but that's it, right? They released one game in the last decade.
And Starfield, not great. Like, if you're putting it into the pantheon of Bethesda games, like, it's probably near the bottom.
Yeah. I like Starfield.
It's fine. I'm not saying it's bad, but
yeah,
that's the only game you've released, and it's not like,
it's not Skyrim.
It wasn't the game changer that you thought it would be when it was like announced.
Yeah,
you know, like I had very high hopes for it. I thought it was good. I remember liking it, but I have, nothing's drawn me back to be like, oh, I want to play that again.
I just remember I've played, like, since then, I played through Fallout 4. I played through Skyrim again. I'm like, those games are so much better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, that's, those games were, well, one of them was last gen, And then the one before is the one that they're releasing on everything. Like, it's on refrigerators now. Yeah. So I don't think there's anything wrong with wanting to hold your studios accountable and make sure they hit timelines and deadlines. And it's just, man, when you cut 1,600 people, and then there's 1,600 more to come.
Yeah,
they announced 3,200 cuts. That's a lot of people.
How many people do they have in their game development studios? We know
that. I don't know. It has to be a
like percentage-wise. Like, is this
so
like
many people?
It's a lot. It's a lot. It's like
it's a lot of people. It's definitely a lot of people.
Like, you're talking like certain. Like, I thought I heard that id had lost at least half.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's like significant for every studio, which I just like. I don't know. What do I know?
It's rough. It's going to be rough for them going forward for a while. So, and hopefully the games that they are releasing hit, because if not, those people probably also
are
going to be on the chopping block.
We've talked about this like to death now, it feels like, but if you can make a game for less money, and I guess with less staff, you should do that, because the way games have been going is it's becoming too much money and too long to develop. When you can still make pretty great games that are maybe slightly smaller in scope.
Oh, absolutely. Like, we've seen this even with like games that are, I think, are really good, like Assassin's Creed Shadows. Like, does it need to be like the 100-hour plus game that it is? Like, the base game of that is like at least 60 hours.
Yeah.
You could cut that. You could cut that down to 30 and like maybe trim it a bit.
So like one thing I heard was id stated, like, we are down to the staff levels that we were at when we recreated 2016 Doom. I'm like, okay. And like, they were like sending it out as like a reassuring tweet, like, hey, we'll be okay. And I'm like, okay. But if it takes more to make, like, maybe we should have peaked at 2016. Does anyone saying make any sense? Like, maybe that was the peak of like technological advancement. Cause like, if it becomes untenable beyond that, it seems like. And meanwhile, you have Nintendo who, they seem to know how to do it with, and don't have to lay people off. And
I agree with you, Jeff. Like, and I liked the last Doom game, the Dark Ages. I thought it was great, but like, is it that much better than Doom 2016, which is probably still the best of the modern Doom games?
And are all the technical aspects that much better?
No.
You know, like, yeah, I'm sure if you put them side by side, you can see things in the new Doom that are better, but it's like, is it worth putting out a product that forces you to lay off, you know, a bunch of people and you don't make your money back? Like, you know what I mean? Like, there has to be, you have to find that happy medium. I don't know shit, but that's what it seems like to me. Like,
but it does suck that, like, you know, as id had hired up an extra 100 people or 200 people or whatever, all these studios had hired up all these extra people, and now they're all out of a job, and there's no jobs for them to go to. Like, the studios just aren't hiring. So, unfortunately, like, a lot of these people are probably going to be gone from the game industry.
Maybe they'll start some of their own companies. Possible, right? Enough of them got laid off that there's enough talent out there. Yeah.
Oh, it's not the talent though. It's where's the money?
Yeah.
Like, the money's not out there. The guy who did Dead Space, and he did that Callisto Protocol game, and I'm drawing a blank on what his name was, but he had just done an interview.
Glenn Schofield.
He just said, like, he's trying to pitch a game. He's a guy who's made good games. Like he has a track record, and he can't get funding. So he's basically retired. Like, I'm done. So if like, yeah, if people like him can't get funding,
maybe these people aren't going to form their own new AAA studio, but you have a lot of talent out there that lost their jobs. Maybe some of them will do like, think of the guy that made Axiom Verge. He used to work for like a AAA studio. He left and made his own game and he made that. I could see us getting a lot of new games made by really small teams that are awesome and are profitable. So there's a small silver lining to this.
And that'll be great. Is if like the indie market just explodes and it, you know, if they're able to keep their games in scope and budget them properly and they sell well enough that they make a profit and can continue on, well, we'll see. I hope that's where this ends up at.
I'm just trying to give a silver lining here.
So. Yeah. Anyway, that's where Microsoft's bad news ends for now. There's going to be another.
For now, I'm sure we'll have more later.
Yeah, that's both of these, Xbox and Sony, just I don't know. It's like they're walking with landmines, but placing them in front of themselves. Because Sony and it. Tony has an article with statistics to kind of back up the decision, but it's just, it did not go over well at all with people. Sony has made the announcement that they are killing discs starting in 2028, I believe.
Yeah.
So they're another year and a half of disc production, but basically they're not making
them
money yet. That's kind of the thing with all this is that no one's buying physical games. Tony, you had an article and
It said it's less than 10 games have sold over 100,000 PlayStation disc copies in the US so far in 2026.
That's
insane. Like if games are selling far, far, far more copies, it just there's this article's on Kotaku. But if you look at like new physical game spending, there's like a graph on here and it's like bottoming out. Like they're just vanishing.
I think
like you can see why Sony's kind of going in this direction. I get why some people would criticize the choice, but why would you make games like why? Because you have to build these giant facilities. A lot of people have consoles that don't even have disk drives anymore. Like it's very expensive to make these discs. And now like with the internet being what it is, like everybody has a high speed connection. Like it's just not necessary anymore.
It probably isn't.
I can't remember the last time I bought a disc-based game. The only physical games I get now are for the Switch.
Well, that's all right. So that's an interesting thing. I heard something that was like, physical sales on the modern consoles is, I thought I heard somewhere between like 10 and 20% of their sales. And with Switch, it's like 50.
Yeah.
So somehow, and then here's an example of it. You just said like, I still buy game cards. Somehow, physical is alive on the Switch, but it's been dying everywhere else.
I think it's a completely different experience there, though. They're so much smaller. They don't have these like surfaces that can get scratched. Yeah. It's really easy to store them.
I also wonder if so. I think PlayStation and Xbox are. I mean, Tony, your kids play on everything.
Yeah.
But probably a lot of it is because of you, because like you have them in the house already.
Right.
It doesn't seem like I would love to see the data on what the average age of a PlayStation and Xbox player is versus the average age of a Nintendo.
Switch owner.
And like look, we all three of us, we all own a Switch 2. We love our machines, but for if you're buying something for a kid, it's easier to be like, yeah, you can just get them that Switch game, and then like grandma or they go to Walmart and pick it up.
It's also like more personalized than just getting them an eShop card. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, it's like, here, here's this awesome game. Like, I think that's part of it. I think like the Nintendo fan base is also part of why I think physical is still like, which is funny because like, dude, I own zero physical Switch 2 games. I own many, many Switch 2 games. None of them physical.
I was very much like Tony with the Switch. I was like, I haven't bought any Switch 2 games physically, but with the Switch, I was buying everything. If I could, I was buying it all physically. Just a different vibe. Like,
well, I also think like we have a bunch of Switches, and we'll probably have multiple Switch 2s pretty soon. Mm. If you have that case, it's much easier to take the game cartridge out and hand it to somebody else than it is to figure out how to share the game with them digitally.
Yeah.
Or like sign out of that account and sign into this. It just gets super complicated. Whereas I'm just here is Mario.
It's funny. It's like the game key cards actually are it's very much that same thing. It's just like, all right. Like, you know,
if you can still lend a game to somebody.
Yeah. You go like, I'm going to give this to my daughter. And then basically it's like, it doesn't disappear from your library, but it's like on loan. Like it just says like you've loaned it to this user, which is neat. It's a neat idea.
It's cool. It's better than nothing, but like, I don't love game key cards for one reason, which is like, I would buy physical for certain games that are big. So like Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, I would buy that physical to not download it and take up space.
All of your space.
Yeah. So like that would be a nice option. And that would be an example of where I would buy physical. But I mean, shit, it's better than nothing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That's kind of like the one reason you would do it. Do the games run off of the card, or do they install the hard drive anyway?
No, it's literally just a key. Yeah.
Yeah. But so no more discs on PlayStation, and people are big mad on the internet.
Well,
look, I get it.
I mean, the annoying thing about the internet is a very small number of people can appear to be big mad. I don't know that there's that many people who are big mad.
I think people will just accept it. I mean, shit, no one's played physical PC games in how long, right? Like
25 years.
Yeah, it's been so long.
But I get it from both sides. I get why Sony's doing it. I get why people will be mad. Where I sit, I love physical media, but digital's just so convenient.
Yeah.
I just hate to lose the option, though. Like, I would like it to still be an option that I could go into a store, buy a game, pop it in, and play it. But
that hasn't really been a reality in forever. About the guy, there were two legal issues where someone had their Microsoft account hacked.
Yes.
And Microsoft had denied those two people access to their account anymore because they'd been hacked.
Yep. And then told them, you should go, you're going to need to go rebuy
all
your
account
games.
And buy everything over
start
again.
Start over? Fuck you, dude. Yeah. I'll start over the fucking PlayStation or something, you know.
At least one of them sued and won.
One sued, and it was in Brazil. And Brazil has very stringent consumer protection laws. And so Microsoft was forced to reactivate their account. The other person was able to just like get public opinion. Like they just got a bunch of people to get big mad at Microsoft. And Microsoft was like, oh, yes, we will give you your access back.
Good. Good.
I can only imagine, like, I have no idea how much money I've spent on my account, but it's a lot.
Yeah.
I would hate to lose access.
It sucks, though, that, like, that's another thing I hate about this modern age is to get any help or any customer support or anything, like, you have to get the whole internet behind you now. It's like, there's not, like, you can't actually get help from any fucking company. Like, if you get hacked and lose your email, you're fucked, dude. There's not, like, a customer support for fucking any of this shit. Oh, or if there is, they just tell you to go, they tell you to go fuck yourself.
You also kind of wonder, like, you just get the wrong idiot handling your customer support. Somebody who's probably going to be fired soon. And they're an ass to you. And then, like, that person becomes indicative of Microsoft's entire, like, probably not the case.
In a whole other realm, though, it just reminded me of this. I told you guys we watch, like, the NBC Nightly News. And they do this series, like, you know, once a week or whatever. It was called The Cost of Denial. And they do a story about someone getting fucked over by their insurance company and get denied for, like, some life-saving treatment. And always the end of the story is, after we approached them, they called the family 2 days later and said that, like, we had made a mistake. And we are going to cover your, like, you know, like, because they don't want the bad PR. It's just, like, the fact that you have to get, like, NBC News to run a fucking story on you so you don't die is fucking ridiculous, dude. Anyways.
Yeah. We need better consumer protections in this country.
Like, across the board for everything.
Yeah. It's all a nightmare here. So yeah, no more PlayStation discs. Also, anecdote to that. I think shortly before this, and I believe it's Studio Canal is the movie studio. Sony did not come to an agreement with them, and this happens on Amazon, happens on Apple, happens everywhere. And it's different from game purchasing through them. But anybody that bought a Studio Canal movie on a PlayStation has lost access to that movie.
Oh, God.
Because Studio Canal and Sony did not come to a new rights agreement. So all of the Studio Canal purchases that were made are basically null and void because you can't watch that movie anymore. No access to it. In general, games don't work that way. Like, even games that get delisted, generally we can re-download as long as we paid for it and it's on our account. Generally, we can do that. Some instances where it's been hard delisted and not available on the server, but and one of the things with Steam is like, hey, like, you know, you have it. It could be delisted. They could stop selling it, but you have a copy of it at all times. But with movies, it's not the same. And I've seen this happen with Amazon where it's like, this is not available at this time. And you find out they're in some sort of legal dispute with the studio. But yeah, 550 movies pulled from the PlayStation store. And if you had purchased it, you don't have access anymore. So Sony and Microsoft both just stepping in it PR wise. Like, again, we all understand why Sony's not doing discs. It's just, man, maybe
that doesn't help your case though when it's like, hey, all this stuff like you bought, oh, you didn't buy that, you just bought the license. And
yeah, it's down. So Sony's been a big proponent of that, pushing that as well. Like, well, it's not like you're really just purchasing a license to play it, and that license can be revoked. And now they're pulling physical discs, which, again, it's only a license. It's like a physical license that you have that you put in your machine. In a lot of cases, those games, one, they don't run off the disc because Blu-ray is not fast enough, and two, those games that are on there are heavily modified once you put them in because it downloads like a day one patch.
Yeah,
it's not the same thing as on that disc.
Kind of what I said like 10 minutes ago, where I'm like, it'd be nice if you could just go to a store and pop in a disc and play a game. But it's like, that has not been the case in forever.
Yeah.
The games are incomplete on the disc.
Yep. Yeah. We've, and it's our fault, right? Like, consumers allowed it to happen. Like, we accepted day one patches because it makes the game better, but it's also made things come in hotter, things release more broken at times, like Cyberpunk. But anyway, how about some good news, maybe? I don't know if it's good, what? But no, it's not bad. No. It's not bad news. Yesterday, Xbox launched backwards compatibility for PC. They started out with four games. Original Xbox games can now be played on PC. Blinks, The Time Sweeper, Fusion Frenzy, Crimson Skies, and Conquer. What's that? Live and Reloaded.
Live and Reloaded.
Yeah.
There's your Conquer game, Jeff. It's back. Conquer's back.
It's back. Jeff doesn't play on PC, though, so he's like, I could already play that game. but yeah, and that kind of points to... some data miners have also uncovered that Xbox 360 games are in the works to be coming to PC. So looks like we're getting backwards compatibility on everything, which kind of indicates that Helix machine is basically just going to be like a heavily modified PC.
That wasn't the whole part of the news either.
No, the cool news that at least that I thought was neat. And I think this is what you're talking about.
Of course,
about.
You would think this is neat.
Yeah. Is that these original Xbox games are going to get achievement support. It's not available yet, but yeah, the original Xbox games are going to get...
So who creates the achievements? Microsoft? Like, you know what I mean? Like, you have to go to these companies and be like, hey, what achievements do you want? Or they just make them up on their own? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
Well, most... Not all of them, but most of the games that are backwards compatible.
Microsoft.
Well, yeah, Microsoft owns everything now, right? Like, like Doom 3, which is backwards compatible, Morrowind, which is backwards compatible. They weren't owned by Microsoft at the time, but they're now Microsoft Studios. So maybe they just go to id and Bethesda and like, hey, add these in. Maybe they work with those studios. I don't know. Or those publishers and like, hey, like, how do you want to do this?
Chris is going to be playing some original Xbox games.
Yeah. Maybe I'll go play Conquer for achievements.
Shit, I might.
I think it's neat, right? It's not a game changer. It's not like this is fucking awesome. Yeah. But
well, it's
but
cool it's to neat. Earn them if you go back. Yeah. And play. Like if you were going to play those games.
Yeah.
Which, you know.
I mean, it is weird to play a game on Xbox and not get any achievements.
Yeah,
dude, I'll tell you know what feels strange is playing a game on Xbox right now, but it's a 360 game. That feels weird because it switches your system into a 360.
Yeah.
And like all the pop-up like achievements look like the 360. Yeah. And that's like a blast from the fucking past. It's like a really weird feeling because I tried it recently with Lost Odyssey because it was on sale for $6. I was like, this is fucking weird. It's like I'm entering into another era.
Yeah, and if you press the start and select buttons, which is not what they're called anymore, but if you press them, it brings up that like the 360 like window.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like everything around it. Like,
yep, it's exactly 360. It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's really cool. And it's neat that well, that's how it'll look on the original Xbox games too, because the original Xbox games that are backwards compatible are running through the 360 emulator they have on the Xbox One and Series X. It's neat. That's a cool idea. It's something that PlayStation's had for their PS4 versions of PS2 games for a while now, so. Xbox, I guess, finally catching up what Sony had been doing. Any other news that caught your guys' eyes? Was all mostly on
top
fire.
Of my head, so. I can't think of anything.
That was mostly the big stuff.
Yeah.
And we talked about Fallout and Elder Scrolls getting kind of pushed already. So new Fallout games, new Elder Scrolls games, it's all coming. What have you guys been playing? Because it's been a month, so I'm sure you guys, but I have not played. I played some stuff, but I've not played what I normally would be playing.
Don't worry, I've been
playing at all. All right,
he's been playing for all of us.
Yeah,
excellent.
I played things too.
Yes, Jeff, we'll circle back to you in a second, but Tony, I believe you picked up Black Flag Resynced.
I did. Yeah, I mean, I liked Black Flag. Wow.
You're leaving that flag. In.
Nope. back in the day.
It's a tongue twister. It's a tough one.
But it's one of the few Assassin's Creed games I never finished.
Oh, really?
And I don't know that I'll be finishing it this time around either.
Oh, no.
It looks really good. Like, it's a very pretty game. It is janky as hell. I never feel like the controls don't feel particularly responsive. I know I'm hitting buttons for things that are supposed to happen, and those things are not happening, which I find really frustrating in any game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And like that jank that you got from those old Assassin's Creed games is live and well, which is shocking to me because they're like, oh, we've rebuilt this in the new engine. And
yeah, what was the point?
Like you're still getting like stuck on everything as you try to move through the environment. What were you saying, Jeff?
I was just saying, like, what if you're going to remake it, you're starting with a game that was already pretty good and you couldn't fix the things that were fucked up about the old one?
Yeah, fix the things that were wrong with it, and they haven't done that at all.
It'd be like if we got the Ocarina of Time remake and it had the same controls as N64, I'd be like,
Jesus, I will throw my Switch against the wall.
There are too many constituent parts of this game too. It feels like every 20 minutes I'm playing through a new tutorial for something, and then they bring it back and they're like, do this thing. They're like, I don't remember how to do that thing. Like, that was 8 tutorials ago and that was the only time I've ever done it. It's really annoying to play. I was playing it the other night. I got frustrated and had to stop. I'm like, you're throwing all these ships at me. I have no idea how to do any of the naval combat because you had me do a half an hour of naval combat and then stuck me on the land for the next 2 hours. I don't remember any of the naval. Like, it's paced really badly for all these tutorials. I'm letting it breathe for a little while. I'll come back. Like, I remember enjoying the game quite a bit, but I can't believe that they haven't fixed all this stuff about it. One of the things that they did say that they fixed, the sneaking sections.
Yeah.
So now if you like get caught, like for instance, there was a point at which I was supposed to sneak up and assassinate this guy and I was seen. And so the guy ran away and I ended up having to like fight through all these guys to actually kill him. But there are other parts where like you're supposed to be sneaking through this thing and you get seen. And now you're like surrounded by guys. And now you're like, oh, now I'm stuck in the janky ass combat. It's great. Instead of just failing. I wish I had just failed.
which is what it was before, right? It was like
The failing was better because the failing at least put me back to a state. Now I'm like, okay, now I have to try to fight my way out of this. Or I can just put the controller down and let them kill me. Maybe that's better.
Well, I was kind of hoping you were going to be like, yeah, this is amazing.
Awesome. Like, it's great. I love, that's the funny part thing. I adore these games, right? And going back to this one, I'm just like, this is not great. I'm not enjoying it. Now, maybe I was just having a bad couple nights. Maybe I'll go back and it'll be fine. I don't think that's going to happen, but it could.
Sounds like a wait for a deep discount for me.
Yes.
Okay. Jeff, we'll come back to the older stuff you've been playing. What new stuff have you been playing?
I've been playing so much, but
before we move on, I just want to say Tony touched on one of my great pet peeves in games is when they want you to remember some mechanic that they taught you a long time ago, but you have not been using at all.
Yep.
Yes.
Crimson Desert. And it's like,
I hate having can you just put a pop up to tell me, let me run to my laptop so I can look up the controls for this stupid thing.
It's like if you're standing at one place for a while, they should have a pop up that goes, "Hey, remember X does this," or you know what I mean, whatever. Like,
yes,
it's just I hate that. Anyways, new things. Well, I got a brand new thing for you, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
Splatoon Raiders.
Oh, okay. So you jumped in.
Yes.
So you picked my interest with it, and then I started looking at reviews and was like, but then I saw a bunch of other reviews that kind of were saying what you were saying, is that they've made Splatoon into like a Diablo like. Mm-hmm. So tell me that's what it actually is.
It's more so than I guess previously. Like,
oh well, which was not at all.
I mean, it is like an action RPG. Like,
okay,
like you are leveling up, right? So you play a mm-hmm. level, you level up, and your HP and your damage will go up when you level up, and then you're doing all sorts of build stuff. There was a level I was stuck on, and it was like recommended level 8, and I had like a level 7 weapon, and I just could not do it. And then I got a level 10 weapon, went back and beat it. So there's that. And then there's also like your sidearms. So like, think of like Castlevania, how you have your like secondary weapon.
Yep.
Splatoon has that as well, and here they like really leaned into like building those out and making that part of the RPG-ness of it, and all that stuff's really cool. And it does feel like this thing will have more meat on the bones than a typical like Splatoon campaign. But like that said, like so far, you know, I put some hours into it. A little bit last night, and then a bunch today, and then I went on back to playing the shit I was playing. The levels are so basic, dude. Like, it's like, you go into a level, it'll be like, here's a type of level. You have to go through 3 sub-levels. Sub-level 1, kill these amount of enemies in, like, 60 seconds. I was like, mm-hmm. okay. And if you could do that, you go to sub-level 2, same thing. And it's like, there's just not, like, much to some of the levels. Like, some levels are not that, but that's a huge chunk of it. And it's just, I don't know, like, it just doesn't feel like much. Some of the levels are like platforming, and like some of those are like treasure, like go look for treasure, go look for loot. And then they'll say that, they like say loot a lot, like we need to get loot. And that are like, those are like kind of like fun Nintendo platforming levels, but they're just not very deep or complex or long or anything. Like, it's just, I don't know. Again, this is my first impressions of it. It is, I'd say it's fun. Like, I don't regret buying it the way I regret buying Star Fox, but like, I feel there's definitely more meat on the bone than Star Fox, for sure. 50, like, obviously.
$50, $60 game, $70 game.
It's 50. It's the same as Star Fox. So okay. that's why I mentioned Star Fox.
Got it.
Well, in part, but also because I regretted buying Star Fox. This I don't regret buying. I'm like, oh, there's enough here. Like, I could have fun with this. And like, you know, I just love that, like, RPG cycle of, like, getting the better number guns and shit. Like, that, you know, that's enough.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, like, and you look at like IGN's review, he said he put 40 hours into it, but it took him around 15 to complete. I was like, okay, who knows where I'll land on that. I don't know.
Faster, generally.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that like reviews inflate the times. But he said 15 to beat it. That's what a lot of people are saying. But like a day before it came out, someone had uploaded on the YouTube their full playthrough, and it was 5 hours and 42 minutes.
Oh wow!
Now,
that's terrible.
I don't think I'll beat it in 5 hours and 42 minutes because I'm dying, and it does get hard pretty quick. Like I've already had to go back and go kind of grind to the point where I was like telling my wife to buy the game. So like, because if you play it co-op, supposedly it's a little easier. Which, and I think it'll be fun. Like, you know, hey, let's play through this together. I don't know. She was thinking about it earlier today. Maybe if I get her drunk or something, she'll do it. But
co-op games are. Co-op always makes games more fun. So,
well, that's the thing though, is a lot of the reviews here said the opposite. They're like, this is better playing by yourself because you bring someone else in and it becomes too easy. And I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, if you're struggling, then...
struggling, yeah. So, anyways, that's about all I can say about it so far. I've only played like 2-3 hours. Okay. It's good. Again, it's good. I don't regret buying it. Yeah. I think that. The reviews made it sound like, again, IGN said it's like their best Switch 2 exclusive beyond Donkey Kong Bonanza. And I'm like, I don't think I would even agree with that. I think Bacopia is better. But
yeah, that's a weird, like, that's very weird. There's other games. Anyway, you mentioned Star Fox.
Yeah.
I did play Star Fox. I think I'm more positive on it than you.
Sure. Everyone is.
It's not worth $50. No. This game should have been 30. That's where I would say you should buy it at, 30 or less. And even then, like, if you're not a Star Fox fan, if you're not a arcade flight fan, I would say skip it because there's not going to be much for you. How long did it take you, Jeff, to finish it?
Like first, well, I didn't finish it. I'm on the last level still. I never went back and beat the last level, but I'd say under 2 hours, like hour 45, yeah, maybe.
Mine was just about that as well.
It's six levels, dude. It's 6 10-minute levels. Like, you know, what can it be?
Yeah, I got stuck on like one that took me like most of my playtime. there are like alternate routes and stuff you can go, but it's gonna come down to, it's gonna be six seven levels total.
Yeah, there are more than six levels in the game. It's just every playthrough is gonna be only that number, right? But yep. Again, it's not that, what is it, three more than that total? Like, yeah, you know what I mean? Like,
I think there's like three additional levels
if you take different routes. And you and I took different routes through the one level that you got stuck on, I think you said. You said you got stuck on the tank level.
Yep.
I could not beat the boss on that level. And then I like was looking up, like reading a walkthrough of that level, trying to beat the boss. And then I was reading like, oh, hey, if you shoot all the gates, like all the train gates,
yep,
you don't even fight that boss. So I was like, all right, I'm taking that path. And they're like, but be warned, you're going into a much harder level. And that level, yeah, did suck. I could not beat that boss. I find the aiming so hard in Star Fox. It doesn't stay steady.
Very
like,
loose, no.
Like, wherever you point, the cursor is kind of shaky, and you're, like, kind of having to, like, move the fucking stick to, like, try to hold it in place. I don't want that.
Which is, and I don't know if you've ever played any actual arcade flight games. Like, in an arcade, that's exactly how it feels. Like they've replicated it perfectly.
No, I mean, that's how every Star Fox has been.
Yeah, it's just kind of, it gets frustrating too. Like,
it's hard there to be precision aiming on a boss.
Yes,
you know, and you have the shaky reticle. Like,
yeah, it's like I am like right, like, and if it had like aim assist or something, you'd be like, you'd feel a whole lot better about it. Because, but it's like I'm right there, but my shots are just going wide, and now I'm dead.
Cool. Yeah, that boss was driving me nuts, dude. But it was just crazy to me, like,
But you ended up being, well, I guess you got the easier next level, but then the level after that is the final level, and it starts off, and I think we were talking about this last time a month ago, mm-hmm. where, like, you're in this free range mode, and I just feel like I'm chasing cursors around the screen, and every time I turn around to try to get a look, they've, like, just flown in the other direction behind me, and I'm just like, fuck this, dude. Like, I think part of it is I don't love flight games as much as everybody else. Like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Which is weird, because I love the original Star Fox, but, I just don't, like I said when this first came out, I don't think it's enough, and I think it also feels dated. Like, despite them, like, giving it a full overhaul with the graphics and everything, like, it's just a dated type of game. Like, sure. There's no, like, RPG elements of making your ship better, or, you know what I mean? Like, anything, like, it's just it's pure arcade.
It's an arcade game. That's it. There's nothing additional there. I do kind of wish that they had done maybe a few additional levels to kind of, like, add it a bit, but
make it a 5-hour game at least.
Or even a 3-hour game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the one new game that came out that I played. We'll come back to two other ones I played. But Tony, you play anything else?
I've been playing more Forza.
Mm-hmm.
I finally got to the part where you race against the
okay. Cool. That's fun. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good
one. It's rigged. It's totally rigged. Like, I'm like,
oh, yeah. They all are, yeah.
Like, oh yeah.
Like, I don't feel like I've won here. You just made the mech stop at the end, and I passed him.
It's just a cool, yeah.
Yeah, like the mech, like, runs out of power as you're crossing the finish line. It doesn't matter how good you race, it always ends that way.
Yeah. Which makes, like, and all the events are like that. It kind of feels like the races that you do to get to that point are more interesting from, like, a gameplay perspective, because you can actually lose.
Yeah, I wonder if that's so. There's only three of those this time out, like the showcase events, and they've added these other ones in that are they're not showcase, but you're not racing against anybody. They're just like these weird obstacle course type runs.
Yeah, we have to go like the containers and that stuff.
Which are neat. I do wonder if that's why there's not as many showcases though. Just they've run out, and they've been doing these since 3. So 3, 4, 5, 6, and now it's like the magic's gone from them.
Yeah.
From like the fake races against a train or an airplane, and it's like, yeah, they're all rigged. Like, you're always gonna win them. So I wonder if that's why we got the different, I can't remember what they're called, but the kind of like obstacle course runs.
Yeah.
But are you enjoying it otherwise?
That's fine. I like running over all of the little characters.
Yeah, the mascots. Yeah,
the mascots. Cool. Destroying the mascots. I know they had this in the previous games, but we're like competing against other players on your friends list. Like, oh, I've driven more through more areas than you, and on more roads, or I've destroyed more mascots than you. I think that's like kind of addicting.
It's cool, except if you have one person on your friends list who is like the best.
Yeah. Well, I'm not that person, so I'm still like fighting people to pass. So you guys are probably way ahead of me.
And Tony's coming in late too. But it's nice when you're like, there's always like somebody ahead of you. It's like, oh, like, you know, Jeff he has 23 of these. All right, well, I'm going to play till I have 25.
Yeah.
Yeah, that shit
that's kind of where I am too. Like, this game doesn't feel new to me. And I think that's probably the worst thing about it. Like, I've had all the experiences before, and I haven't done anything here that I haven't done already. And so, like, I'm sort of just competing against myself to see how far I can get doing random stuff. And that's not sustainable for very long, I kind of feel like.
Especially since you're not like a big racing fan.
Yeah. Yeah, just try collecting all the cars. I mean, most of the cars don't mean anything to me. I'm not a big, like, I'm not getting hardcore into, like, adjusting my car to perform really well. I don't have the difficulty turned up really, really high because I'm would lose.
Like, yeah, the racing's tough.
Yeah.
Jeff, you play anything else?
Shit,
I know you have. I know there's so many. So pick one.
I guess the big thing I want to mention is, I mean, I believe you guys both played Outer Worlds 2 last year and had it on your top 10, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so I finally got around to, like, I reached a point, I reached that lull, like, we had a little lull there of releases, and I was like, I was looking at my Xbox, like, games, and I was like, what can I do to clear up space? And then I was like, dude, Outer Worlds has been sitting here since it came out, like, Outer Worlds 2. Let's play it. So I started playing it, and it kind of, like, made me fall in love again with, like, that type of game. Like, it's just, like, it's so good. And again, it's not, like, drastically different from Outer Worlds 1, but it just reminded me of what's fun about these types of games. And what's fun about these types of games is what, like, Obsidian excels at, which is, this is the only type of game where I'm like, the narrative matters, because the narrative is the game. Like, what you say matters.
Yeah.
Like, so if you play a game like Fire Emblem, you get all these lengthy cutscenes with, and then you get like two dialogue options. Neither choice matters. No matter what you say, they're going to say the same fucking thing back to you. Here, it's like you're shaping the narrative by what you say. To the point where, like, I will be investing in my dialogue stats so I could, like, make the story go the way that I want. And what Obsidian does extremely well with this type of game is they present you with two options or three options, and all of those options have trade-offs. Like, there's no, like, clear, like, this is the good way to go, this is the bad way to go.
Yeah, it's not Mass Effect, right? Like, where it's like,
yeah,
here's the good, here's the bad, here's the in-between.
It's not good, it's not evil, it's not even like, yeah, you can't even tell, like, what the game wants you to choose. To the point where you just have to be like, well, what do I believe? You know what I mean? Like, and you get to tell the story that the way you want to tell it. And another thing that Obsidian does extremely well, like, layer on top of that, is, like, the different factions in the games. So where it's like, like, it just goes back to New Vegas, where you're like, who do I align with? You know what I mean? Like, which group do I want to align with? And I just think that, like, Obsidian does such a great job with all of that, that playing Outer Worlds 2, I was just, like, blown away by it. And I was just like, yeah, it's cool that they're making a new Fallout, but, like, I would happily take Outer Worlds 3. I would, like, you make me choose between a new Fallout by them and an Outer Worlds 3, and I'm like, shit, man, whatever you guys want to do, I'll take whatever you're serving up. That's say about it. Other than, like, I ended up choosing the path of making the two big factions work together for the greater good,
mm-hmm.
which was cool. And I loved it so much that when I was done with it, I was like, man, what can I play on the Switch like that? And so I bought the Outer Worlds 1 on Switch. And so now I'm playing that on Switch.
The Outer World, the first game?
Yeah.
Which I think has better companions than the
two?
One. Yeah.
I will say this.
Oh, no, I like the Stabby Lady.
Oh, yeah, she's fun. The Stabby Lady, and then the other one that's like the professional.
The professional, like, Stabby Lady.
Yeah, if you put them, like, both together, they're insane.
I love having both of them at the same time in the same party.
There is a companion.
The one is like a fangirl of the other. It's hilarious.
Yeah. What were you saying, Jeff?
There is a companion in the first game who is like a priest.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, he has a shotgun. And when you make him do his companion move, he'll be like, he always has like a little punchline, like, before he shoots something, and it'll be like, it's time for confession.
It's goofy.
So great.
I like it. Moving on from Outer Worlds, and I was telling Tony about this before we started, but I played a demo, actually like right before we recorded, called Agent 64 Spies Never Die. This is it's inspired by like GoldenEye, and it looks like an N64 game, or what you remember N64 games looking like. Because I think it's specifically way better looking than either GoldenEye or.
I'm looking at stills now, though. It definitely evokes GoldenEye. Like,
yeah, yeah.
It looks like, like you said, it looks like an N64 game, but it's doing lighting and things that are like those games could not do.
The main character kind of looks like a Sean Connery type dude. It plays exactly like you kind of want that game to play. Like it's a guy, and I don't know how big his team got. He announced this in 2021. It was a solo developer at the time, and it's coming out in like 2 weeks or something like that. It's really, really cool. It will be coming to consoles. It does not say which one or when, though. So it's only coming to PC right now.
Don't get too excited.
Yeah. It's really neat, though. I think it plays really fun. It has that same mission structure that the GoldenEye and Perfect Dark had, where
two,
it's like
three objectives
here's your three objectives. If you play on the harder difficulty, it's like four or five objectives, and that's how you beat the mission. Which I think is neat. Like, that's kind of what you want in like that type of spy game. So really cool. I'm glad I gave it a go. It's 14 missions. I played the first two. It actually gives you a third one. I just didn't have enough time to play that one before we started. But also, if it's priced well, I'm probably going to pick it up. So I don't need more than I did.
The lighting, and I was just looking at a trailer for it, like the lighting and effects and shit, like, are obviously like not what N64 could do, but it really does look like an N64 game. Like, everything about it, like the character models, like,
yeah,
it looks like a sequel to GoldenEye.
It is. The character models are great because it looks like they have like an actual face scan that they've kind of like plastered onto an N64 3D model, very similar to what the original GoldenEye had, which was like, you know, Bond had Pierce Brosnan kind of like pixelated face put on him for cutscenes and stuff. So
yeah,
it's neat.
It's wrapped around a polygon model.
Yes, exactly. It's so goofy looking. It's fantastic. Yeah, really, really neat. Looking game. Tony, anything else on your side?
I played a couple. I played a roguelike game where you got to train around through the fog called Fog Piercer. Very mediocre. Played more Hearts of Iron 4, obviously. Trying to think of anything else. I think it was mostly those things.
All right. Jeff, what else? What else you got there?
A quick mention or two. I did not play this game, but I downloaded it, and it looks like a game that I think that at least you would enjoy, Chris, called Dench Attack. Have you heard of this?
Yes, I have. I've not played it, though.
Have you seen footage of it, though? It looks so fun.
Yeah. Yeah, it kind of looks like Jet Set Radio a little bit.
Like Jet Set Radio, Tony Hawk style. Yeah, like Jet Set Radio graphics kind of like,
yes,
on rails, Tony Hawk style. Like, I don't know. It looks fun. I have not dived into it because I feel like it's going to be a whole system of moves for me to learn, which I'm just not into. Maybe at some point. And I touched. I'm trying to think of, there was one other thing I wanted to to touch on that I actually did play a little bit of. Blanking. I'll shut up.
The only other thing I played, and I mean, I've been poking at this now for quite some time, is The Adventures of Elliot, which Jeff has beaten.
Twice.
I still have not, still not beaten it for the first time. I'm now like 15 or so hours in. And I thought I was nearing the end. So I was like, I'm going to save here last night. And it wasn't like the and by the end, I mean that I know what happens is like that you beat the game, credits are going to roll, but basically like Elliot has made the wrong decision. So you go back into the game and you find a different path.
I mean, that's what I did. You don't have to do it that way.
Well, yeah, so, there's three different endings. I guess you could just bypass that. I've not gotten to that point yet, though.
Okay.
So I thought I was there going to fight the Kaifreid. And I was like, oh, I'm going to save here last night. So I went in to go. I was like, I'm going to beat it right before we play and be like, I at least got the first ending. And I go fight Kaifreid, and that's not the ending. It's like, oh, there's more to this. I've just been exploring and doing like all the little shrines and anything I can get to, like collecting cats, getting all the weapons, upgrading Faye, your little fairy, and all her stuff. So I've been doing like a bunch of like extraneous stuff.
Main
questing.
Are you able to open the blue doors in the dungeon? Not the first, like not the regular blue doors, but that, you know, how you see that one blue door where it's like, how do you open that?
So, I mean, I just got a key from this guy in one of the other time frames, and it's like I couldn't get into this one area because I was chasing down cats. Because I have this little thing on my compass. It's like, here's where the cats are. And there's a cat in this room. And I was like, I need to get in there. And I go in. And it's like, Faye goes, oh, I wonder what's in here. Oh, we can't go forward because there's a door. But now I have a key that opens that. I don't know if it opens up all of them.
No, like, it's not. Like, in every dungeon, there's an optional blue door. And okay. It'll be like, oh, she'll be like, oh, maybe we don't have the power for that yet. Or whatever. Mm. And what it is you have to do this fucking dungeon that's like on an island in the middle of the water.
Okay.
That's completely missable. And once you do that, you'll get the actual, like the basically the master sword. Mm-hmm. And that sword is what unlocks those doors. And getting that sword will send you down the quest to get the actual real ending. So the last time I talked about this game, like a month ago, yep. I was like, it's too short. Well, like, yep. I had missed, like, a third of that game. And, like, Sean was telling me all this shit. I was like, what the fuck? I gotta go back in. I go back, I get that sword, I start going down that path. And, like, all of the best dungeons are hidden behind that path that is completely missable. Like, I rolled credits, and I was just like, that was kind of an unsatisfying ending. What the fuck? It's because, like, I got the worst ending, and... like the best parts of the game are completely missable. I almost feel like that's like a mistake by them to do that way, but
yeah, it's insane.
But yeah, it's like an insane choice, but it was really neat to go, oh my god, like this game that I really loved, like there's more to it, and the stuff that I haven't got to yet is better, like the dungeons are better than what I had done. So like that was so awesome.
Okay, so where is this island at? Like
it's like in the middle, like middle of the map, almost like bottom, okay. middle left. Remember
okay.
that?
Okay.
Water.
I'll keep a look.
Look for up. It. I think it's called the Water Ruins.
All right.
Like, just go to the location for that. Go mosey your ass on over there. And the other thing about it is, do not leave that dungeon until you get the better fucking sword. Because like they'll make you think like you'll get an item. You'll fight a guy, you'll think, oh, it's done, but it's like the dungeon has more layers. And that's where you get the sword.
Got it. So keep looking for the special sword.
Yeah.
All right. I will do that. I had thought, oh, there's only three timelines, and I guess I just unlocked the fourth timeline. So like I'm further back in time. So I figure that's the last.
Do you like that mechanic, like the time thing?
It's neat. I wish things changed a little bit more.
Yeah, I wish they did more with it. Like, I hope they do a sequel and they do more with that. Like,
there's a neat side quest that I did yesterday, where you go into this. It's in your timeline. You go into the bar and into the tavern, and the barkeep is like, "Hey, I got a mission for you. Like, some of the travelers being attacked up north in the ice area by these like little robot things, thaumatons, I think they're called." And he asks you to go take a look at it. So you go up there, you kill all the robots, and then you Elliot and Faye are like, "And something was drawing them here. We should go back in time and see, you know, what it was." So you go back one layer, and you see that there's a guy hidden under the ice. So you're like, "Well, let's go back even further." So you go back another layer, and you actually rescue the guy. And it turns out he is like the great, great grandfather of the bartender. And when you save him, it actually changes the bartender's personality. Like, he was very much like, he was very gruff and like, "Don't break shit." And like, things are priceless. And like, you, not people, like who gives a crap about people. But when you save his grandfather, his whole personality changes, and he's like way nicer when you go back to your own timeline. But it's like so few and far between where you get actual things where you're changing how things happen, and you're not changing anything actually in the world, just like people. Like, it'll be neat if like, "Oh, I blew up this thing here."
Yeah.
And in the future it's open, which I don't know. I think they probably could have done a little bit more with it, but I like it. It's neat. It's just that it's like, you know, four maps that are basically all the same. And you have to explore each one independently. Like, it's not like, "Oh, now I'm in this new one. I have access to all my fast travel points that I have in the other timeline." No, you have to like re-explore them all.
Yeah. I don't mind that. I just wish that they did more with it.
Yeah. But it's, I really like it. I'm really, really having a good time with it. So that's The Adventures of Elliot. And that's what we've been playing over the last month.
A lot. At least.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some total, quite a bit.
We'll be back in 2 weeks. Earl will hopefully be back then, and we'll talk about that DOA movie. I think it's called DOA Dead or Alive. I'll sit down and watch it. I'm sure Tony and Jeff will not.
Absolutely, I'm in.
No,
I will watch that movie so hard.
But Earl and I will have that. We'll also,
the one I wanted to watch was Silent Hill, which I think you guys did already, right?
We did do the first Silent Hill. That was the last.
But not the new one.
Not the new one yet.
And I think the new one is on Hulu.
It is, yes. Yeah. And maybe, because I don't think we've, well, we didn't do the original Mortal. Well, we did the original Mortal Kombat, and then we did Mortal Kombat 2. But the new Mortal Kombat and Mortal Kombat 2, I don't think we've done those yet. And Tony did just say that Mortal Kombat 2 is coming to HBO.
I think it's
tomorrow. Yeah, tomorrow. So maybe we'll talk Earl into boosting those up a little bit. They're fun movies.
Yeah, the new one was a lot of fun.
And Halo. Halo Campaign Evolved. Well, it's out if you want to pay extra money to play it early. I'm not doing that, but I will be playing it next week when it releases for normal people.
I have it downloaded.
Yeah.
But downloaded. So, I'm ready.
So maybe we'll have played some of that. Maybe we'll have played some of it together. We'll see.
Who knows?
Except all it does have possible. Yeah. It does have co-op. So but we'll be back in 2 weeks. Jeff, say goodnight.
Speaking of co-op, come save me on Splatoon, somebody.
Good night.